is the day the Lord has made. What are we going to do, everybody? Rejoice and be glad in it. Did God do something good for you this week, this past week? That don't sound convincing. God woke us up this morning, right? You might be still tired, but we woke up this morning, right? We got something to eat this week, had some good meals, saw some family and friends. Most of us got a job this week. So we're just thankful. We're thankful for what God has us today. So welcome again to New Life at Calvary, to our friends and our guests and our family online and in our worship service here in Cleveland, Ohio. Good morning, everybody on Facebook. Good to see y'all. Everybody online as well. We are here at New Life at Calvary, and we're getting ready to begin our worship service. But before we begin, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for another Lord's Day. Thank you for waking us up. Lord, we ask you, God, just to guide our spirits and our minds this morning as we come to give you the first fruits of our life, first fruits of our time, our treasure, and our talents, Lord. We give them all, everything in our lives, as an offering and a blessing to you, Lord. And we know, God, everything that we give to you, you'll give it back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So we say thank you, Lord, in advance for time. Thank you, Lord, in advance for just blessing our way as we go along the week. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our families. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our finances, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our talents this week as well, God. We just want to say thank you, God, for the word and the scriptures that you have for us today. Speak to our hearts, Lord, as we come and settle our mind and still our hearts and look to you, Lord. Give us a word today. We need a refreshing today, Lord. We need to be filled up in this place, Shekinah glory, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to fill this room, Lord. So we're going to say thank you in advance for what you're doing in our midst and what you're doing in our worship service, Lord. We're praying for those of our unsaved loved ones that are not with us today, God. We ask you, Lord, just to call their hearts to you, Lord. Just call their minds to you, to want to worship you, to want to serve you, to want to do some good, to want to see some good. Help us all, Lord, to be a light in a mighty way this week as we come, Lord. And we just say thank you in all these things. In Jesus' mighty name we ask, amen. Amen. And good morning and welcome again, everybody, to New Life at Calvary. Tell your neighbor, mighty glad you made it to church today. Mighty glad you made it to church. If you're a first-time visitor, we have some welcome cards in the bag, and we'd love to have you guys come back and we can follow up with you. Good morning to everybody online again. Give a comment, a like, or a share so we know that you're in attendance and so somebody else can hear the word of God. Is anybody ready to give God praise this morning? Yeah. We can do better than that. Is anybody ready to give God praise today? Well, if you're in the book, wherever you are, if you're in church or at home, stand up to your feet and let's give God a big praise with the praise team and the praise band as we sing, Holy Spirit, in this place. Fill this place.
Holy Wallace. And I will be reading the scripture this morning. From the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. And from the New Testament, John 21, 15 through 19. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and understanding of the word.
Praise God. Thank you, Marian. Praise God. Take your time. Thank you. Praise God, saints. Can anyone tell me what time it is? It's offering time. And what do we say? Hallelujah. And it's so good to be able to give back to God in the form of our tithes and offerings. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "Each one must give as he or she has decided in their heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." I knew you always don't know that one. Praise God. And so we give cheerfully today because God has given to us and provided to us in so many ways, my friends. And so today, it is the third Sunday And on the third Sunday, our special offering goes to support our Nigerian orphanage, the Rotulu home. And so we want to be able to be a blessing to them all the way in Nigeria. This past week, Sylvia and I had a meeting with the Cleveland Foundation, praise God. And the Cleveland Foundation is considering us as one of their people, organizations, to support financially. They sat in our building and we shared with them all the ways that we support our community. They walked past our food pantry. The food pantry was doing such a beautiful job in here. He was so impressed. He was so well taken care of. You all even gave him some apples on his way out the door. He was so impressed with what we have accomplished under the duress that we have been in our building. And so we want to make sure that, as I had shared with him, I told him about the Rotulu home, told him about the food pantry, I told him about the summer camps and the spring break camps. I told him about all of our ministries. And he said, wow. And so we want to be faithful in stewardship. So if God is blessing us, we have to continue to be a blessing to others. So as our ushers come forward, let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we thank you, Lord, that we can never outgive you. We give to you cheerfully and joyfully, Holy Spirit, because you have given to us. You have blessed us in so many ways as individuals and as New Life at Calvary. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that you would take these tithes and offerings, Lord, and that they would be used in your community for your people. We thank you and we honor you. In the mighty and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. As our ushers prepare to collect the offering, for those of you that are joining us online, we have several ways for you to participate in the offering today. You can go ahead to our website. It's called www.nlac.tv, and you can open up and establish your online giving account. For those that like to use Cash App, go ahead and put that dollar sign in, the number 2, the letters NLAC, and your offering comes right to us. If you would prefer to mail in your offering, our address is 2020 East 79th Street, Cleveland, Ohio, 44103. And thank you again so much for participating in our offering today. We will now be blessed by our praise team, Carrie Holland, with Total Praise. Thank you. Praise God, praise God. I lift my hands in total praise. Can we lift our hands in total praise to our God? We are so, so glad to be able to serve an awesome and amazing God. Amen. Can you all agree with me today on that one? Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Vince, for playing so beautifully. So we are in the sermon series called what? All In, praise God, All In. Week one, we talked about what?
Deny yourself.
And what's week two?
Take up your cross.
Take up your cross. And what's week three?
Faithfully follow
Jesus. So we are going to be talking about our three commands, which are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and third, follow Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, thank you, gracious God, for leading the way. Thank you for inviting us to follow you, Holy Spirit. Give us courage for the journey and strength to persevere. As we listen, Holy Spirit, to your word for us today, guide each and every one of our hearts. Help us to know that our identity is in you, Holy Spirit. We are your beloved sons and daughters, and we are so honored and privileged to be your children. Help us, Holy Spirit, in our day-to-day lives and our walk, that what we say and what we do may reflect you at all times. We give you the honor, glory, and the praise. In the mighty and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Good morning, New Life at Calvary. I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And I can't wait to always tell you all that. So excited to be able to say those words to you, those three words. My daughter said she was going to up her game. So now it's like, she says, I said it first. So the other day I said it first and she said, oh my, you said I love you first. And I said, I did, I got you. But we just want to be the place where people know that they are loved. Our motto is I love, and we care. That is our motto at New Life at Calvary. We love and we care. And so we want this place to feel like home. So today we are in our series All In, and we have been looking at that verse, that scripture from Matthew chapter 16, which says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This is a very simple three-step command. Who does he tell this command to? Does he tell the person on the street? Who is he talking to? His disciples. In order to be obeying this command, you have first got to say, I believe in you, Jesus Christ. I am yours. I'm committing myself to you. Have you all ever heard that phrase that, you know, you are my brother or you're my sister? Anybody ever heard that? You remember you was a kid, you would say, that's my sister in blood or my sister in spirit. Y'all remember that as a kid? We would always make up relatives. That's my aunt, that's my uncle, that's my whatever. But we was always knowing that we were related to somebody. When we become disciples, we truly become brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus becomes our friend, our brother, our partner as we walk in this journey. So tell your neighbor, you got a partner. And tell your other neighbor, howdy, partner. We are family. Y'all remember that song? Who sang that song? Sister Sledge. How did it go?
We are family.
Uh-huh. We are family. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes it feels like it's just a little bit too much. Amen. But being a part of the family of God is a beautiful experience. Family can be hard. How many of y'all agree family is hard? Today, many of us struggle to find love or to feel love even in our own family, our individual families. And then when we come to church, we're expecting to feel love, and we struggle to feel love even at church, right? But for most of us in here, every single one of us can identify at least one, say one, at least one person in our lives, and it can be a biological family member or a spiritual family member, but we can all identify at least one person that we know we love them and they love us back. Who is your one person? Your mother? Oh, look at these two. Tawana and Latanya. The besties, the cousins, the sisters. They call themselves sister cousins, right?
My sister.
Your sister. Wait a second. You got two sisters. Which one?
The little sister.
The little sister. They both your little sister. I've been trying to be slick. Be like, I'm just going to claim them both. Gail and Katie, right? Anybody else, you know this person loves you. Oh, Amari is pointing at Avery. Praise God. Who else? Mary?
You.
Oh, thank you, Mary. I do love you. And I know you love me back. Praise God. Oh, Jackie and Larry, praise God. You have better know what love is. That, what is it, 55 years of marriage, praise God. That's love. So we all know at least one person that loves us. Maybe your person is your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, someone that you know cares about you. And if right now, today, you needed some help, you can call them and they will help you. You know, when Jesus was carrying the cross, and we mentioned this last week, there was someone that came alongside of him. Who was that person? Simon. That's right, Simon of Cyrene. And Simon of Cyrene, if you remember, I was sharing, he was standing by the road watching, just like everyone else. He was watching Jesus carry this cross. And Jesus had been battered and bruised and was not feeling well. And he probably was very weak at this point. And he was standing there. We don't know if Simon of Cyrene was standing there as a sympathetic follower of Jesus Christ. We don't know if he was just a casual bystander. We don't know really much about him. But we know that scripture says the Roman soldiers told him to go and carry that cross with Jesus. Now, he may have wanted to, you know, take his moment and say, I'm out of here. How many of you all would have tried to run? Anybody? How many of y'all would have pushed back into the crowd and looked around like, who are we talking to? Me? We would have been looking around like, he talking to you. He didn't point at me. He pointed to you. But this man did not argue. He did not bolt. He could have stood there and said, you know what? Anybody else in this crowd can help Jesus carry that cross. But he did not do any of those things. He heard the words, go and carry the cross. And he went and picked up his portion of the cross. One of my favorite illustrations that I love to talk about and I love to use is that a cross is heavy. Y'all see that cross up there right now? If I just sent any one of you right now to go and say, told you to go get the cross off the stage and bring it down here to the floor, how many of y'all could easily do that? Anybody?
No.
One person. Reginald, you're always lifting heavy objects, Reginald. I do believe Reginald would go up there right now and he would start dragging that cross down this to the floor. Now, how many of y'all know? Let's do a test. Go ahead, Reginald. Go ahead. Let's do a test. Go ahead, Reginald. Let's look. So, where is he at? There he go. Reginald, go slow. Is it heavy?
Very.
Okay, hold on. Now, how many of y'all, don't move it yet, Reginald. How many of y'all know it would be slightly easier if he had a helper?
Yeah.
Okay, can somebody go help Reginald? Who gonna go? Oh, praise God.
Look at this. We got two helpers. Don't move it yet, Benjamin. We not. I know you would move that cross if you had to all by yourself. Y'all remember when Reginald was Jesus at Maundy Thursday? He did a good Jesus. Here he comes. Vince is going up.
Susan
went up too? Praise the Lord. Okay, who else?
I think I can.
Uh-oh, Donnie is coming up. Look at this. Here we go. Anybody else want to go up? Look, y'all bystanders in the crowd. Go watch Jesus carry that cross all by himself. Look at y'all. All right. Let's see if y'all can move it from there up three paces. Yeah. Okay, straighten it back up. Look at that. Oh, look at Mary. She said y'all supposed to pick it up, not drag. Was it easy to do by yourself? Or easier with some help, Reginald. With some helpers, right? Praise God. Okay, now y'all got to put it back. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, leave it standing straight. Carry it like, don't hurt Susan. But that's an illustration. Sometimes many of us try to take up our cross all by ourselves and try to bear the burden alone. But we were never meant to take up our crosses by ourselves. We are to bear our burdens with one another, together. Say together.
Yeah.
We are to bear our burdens together. Now, last week I had told you, being a disciple, taking up our cross meant we were going to have some pain, right? I told you that it meant also that there were going to be times when we were lonely. But the good news, say good news, is we are never truly alone. We always have our partner. Tell your neighbor, howdy, partner. We always have a partner with our family of God. We are in this together. That is why when you sit at home sick and you refuse to call anybody who could actually pray for you and help you, you still feel all alone. That is why when you are struggling with a job or school or your marriage or your relationships or your children, you're supposed to pick up the phone and do what? Call somebody. Y'all remember that song? Call me. Call me. Y'all remember Pastor Toby? Call me if you need a... That's right. We are not in this alone. That is part of the good news of Jesus Christ. He sent us the comforter of the Holy Spirit so that we are never alone. So we learned the 2 weeks, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and now we're going to really look at what it means to follow Jesus. Say, follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus.
I want us to answer the question, what happens when we decide to follow Jesus? What happens when you decided to follow Jesus?
You get blessed.
What else?
You what?
He
showed me the way.
He showed you the way.
My life changes.
Your life changes.
Yeah.
Feel better.
Yeah.
You make different decisions.
You got a guide and a shepherd.
Right.
You get left.
Certain people leave.
Oh, yes. That's that loneliness that we talked about. You get left behind, praise God, because you lose some friends.
We find out we have a choice.
We also find out that this is not our stopping place, right? There is more than this earth. Many of y'all know Terrence and I have been blessed. We have 6 children and 7 grandchildren, praise God. That's a lot of people, amen. But as a grandmother, and how many of y'all know that being a grandmother is way better than being a mother, praise God?
We all in. We fully invested. I can't wait to see what it's like to be a great-grandmother. That must be the icing on the cake. But as a grandmother, I can tell you all of my children and my grandchildren's birthdays. I can tell you their birth stories, their favorite colors. I can tell you their favorite television shows. I can tell you about their first days of school for those ones that started school. I can tell you about the first days they walked and talked and what their first words were. Anybody can relate to me on something like that. So you might be wondering, where are you going with this, Pastor Kelly? I'm going with the fact that I have established relationships with my children and my grandchildren. Amen? We have relationships for a reason. Tell your neighbor, for a reason. There are some people on this planet that we are extremely close to. There was even just a recent study that said that when a grandparent is in close proximity to their grandchildren, the grandparents do better. They live longer. They have healthier lives. It's like, okay, this grandparent thing is a good thing. Amen. There is reason for us to be in relationship. The same thing takes place with our relationship with Jesus. You see, Jesus knows our name. Jesus knows our birth story. Jesus knows the first words we spoke. He knows the first steps we took. He knows right now every single day of our lives, every hair on our head that's going to stay and go away. And he knows when you're going to breathe your last breath. Jesus knows everything about us because there is reason, say reason. There is reason to the relationship with Jesus. We are meant to be close to Jesus as possible. We should be closer to Jesus than we are anybody else on this planet. How do we get close to Jesus? We do this by following him. Say following him.
Following.
We follow Jesus by following his direction in this world. So I want to go back to that question again. What happens when we decide to follow Jesus and not just simply follow him a little bit, say a little bit, but we're all in and we're following Jesus completely? You know, my friends, we all follow after something at some point in our lives. All of us. It could be a parent. We look up to a parent and we do what they do. It could be a sibling. We look up to a sibling and we do what they do. It could be an athlete. How many of y'all strove to be the next, what was his name back in the 80s?
Jordan.
Not Jordan. Before Jordan.
Jabbar.
He had the Converse. Dr. J. Magic Johnson. That's his name. How many of y'all wanted to be Magic Johnson? Anybody back in the day? A couple of y'all. Okay, let's go a little closer. How many of y'all want to be like Michael Jordan? Anybody want to be like Michael Jordan? Praise God. How many of y'all want to be like LeBron? Praise God. And now we have the WNBA, praise God. Our girls have somebody to look up to. Serena and our tennis players, we all look up to people. Maybe you look up to an athlete or a musician. How many of y'all, when y'all at home in y'all bathroom, you think you sound like Luther Vandross? Whitney Houston, any Whitneys out there? Praise God. But we all emulate something or someone. We look up to somebody. And we find our identity. This is how we develop our identities. We look at other people and we look to see what they're doing and we try to do what they're doing. My offer to you all today is stop looking at all those people. Tell your neighbor, don't look at them. Get your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. This is how we develop an identity. And the truth is, my friends, when we trade in our old life, which Michael said, we trade in our old life for a new life in Jesus Christ. When we do that, we also receive a new identity. When we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus, Jesus gives us a new identity. Say new identity. Now, I know y'all are sitting there thinking, new identity? In our world, everyone is always talking about, I identify as. Have y'all heard that? What do they identify as?
All over something.
Just give me any, Jasmine.
They, them, she.
Oh, the pronouns. They, them, she.
She, her.
She, her.
There's
an it now, too, ain't it? It's an it. It's a whole bunch. Men are identifying as women. Women are identifying as men. I even saw some black people identifying as white people. And some white people identifying as black people. That would trip me out. My favorite one has been when the poor person said, I identify as rich. He had a whole video. He said, I identify as rich. And I need the people to start giving me my money. And he said, I identify as living in a mansion and driving a Benz and having a maid. And so come on, give me my stuff. About 2 days later, he came back on and he said, this identifying as rich is not working. We even have had people say they identify as animals. I identify as a dog or a cat. Now, this is not an argument about right or wrong, and I definitely am not trying to get political. These are facts, my friends. We see this happening all day, every day. This is the world our children are growing up into, the identify as world.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that some folks think that they have created something new by saying, I identify as. But in actuality, they stole it from Christians. Christians were the first ones to identify as something different and new. We are the ones that said we no longer get our identity from ourselves, we get our identity from Jesus Christ. But our identity as Christians does not require us to take medicine. You don't have to take hormones. If you're a male, you don't have to take estrogen. If you're a female, you don't have to take testosterone to get a new identity in Jesus Christ. You don't have to take medicine or have surgery that alters your body. Identifying with Jesus Christ doesn't start on the external. It starts on the internal. I want us all to get this because there is a difference between Christians and the world, or at least there should be, my friends. You see, the world is trying to change things on the outside and hope that they will change something on the inside. Their direction is outside to in. They think if I take this medicine, it's going to change something on the outside. Say if you are male and you want to be female, you take some medicine and it's going to change something on the outside, right? But let me tell you, my friends, being with Jesus Christ doesn't require you to take any medicine. Doesn't require you to dress differently. Doesn't require you to put on makeup or get you some extensions in your hair. Being with Jesus Christ is from the inside out. There are no medicines involved. There's no makeup, no change of anything exterior. All of the interior begins to change first when we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. It involves prayer. Say prayer. It involves worship. Say worship. It involves reading the Bible. Say reading the Bible. And it involves faith. Say faith. We have to trust that the Holy Spirit is changing us on the inside so that it will be reflected on the outside. God is so good. That is so good. That's how you know a Christian. That's how you know. You what's that song? They will know.
You are a Christian.
I don't even have to say it. They know you are a Christian by your love. And so when someone's standing there talking about, I'm a Christian, but I hate you and I hate you and I don't like you, you can say to them, you are not a Christian, my friend. You don't know the Lord. You see, what happens is the Holy Spirit, when we invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our minds and our souls, things begin to change on the inside, and it's reflected on the outside. But what do we see on the outside? Do we see new clothes and new shoes and new hair and new makeup? No, we do not. What we see is love, joy, peace,
patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That is how you know someone is changing on the inside and is coming out on the outside. If you see somebody being more loving, you're like, oh, you must be a Christian. You see somebody being kind, oh, I know you a Christian girl. You see somebody that's offering patience, especially when they're about to lose their mind, you're like, brother, you are a Christian. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to know that the moment that you decide to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, into your soul, the change begins to happen. But sometimes it's slow. Tell your neighbor, sometimes it's slow. How many of y'all can you be like, I'm still growing. I'm still growing. I'm still growing. The Holy Spirit comes within us and starts to reshape us and reprioritize our life, and we begin to get better. And one of our scriptures, Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he is talking to the two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At that immediate moment, say at that immediate moment, they left their nets and followed Jesus. You see, they had heard that external part. They heard. See, one thing that happens externally is we have to hear Jesus calling us. We have to know Jesus is saying, come and follow me. Come and follow me even now. You may be a believer for 20, 40, 50 years, and every day you wake up and he's saying, come and follow me. He calls us, and then the internal, our souls begin to reply, yes, Jesus, yes. Peter and Andrew got up and followed, and that internal change began to happen right then and there. It wasn't a complete overnight change. I remember back in the day when I first became a Christian, I had a potty mouth. Anybody got a potty mouth in here? I'm not the only one with a potty mouth. I've heard some of y'all. But I kept praying, Lord, take these words out of my heart. I don't want to say these words. I don't want to talk like this. I don't want anyone to think that I don't love them. Because you see, when you cuss somebody out, they don't feel love, my friends. When you go in on somebody, they can't tell you patient or kind. When you just express what's on your heart and your mind and you got to get it all out there, that's not the Holy Spirit. That is you, my friends. But it took time. And some of us, we're still working on some things, praise God. But don't give up. Don't give up. It may not be today that you get rid of your potty mouth, but one day it's going to happen, hallelujah. And there's some other habits that we need to change, right? It's not just a potty mouth. We got a whole lot to work on. And those of us that don't think we don't have anything to work on, guess what you got to work on? Pride. If you think you don't have nothing to work on, pride. So it wasn't an overnight change with Andrew and Peter. Peter and Andrew still made mistakes. All the disciples and the women that followed, they all made mistakes. You couldn't really tell that they were Christians. But day by day, say day by day, they walked with Jesus. Day by day, they talked with Jesus. Day by day, they lived with Jesus. And slowly the inside, because he's working on the inside, amen, the inside began to change, and you can see it on the outside. That's why when Peter was walking with Jesus, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And Peter was able to finally reply, yes, I love you. And Jesus gave him the command, feed my sheep. I ask you again, my friends, just ask yourself this question. Where would you be without Jesus? Where would you be without Jesus? Where would you be right now, if Jesus had never entered your life, would you be somewhere on the streets? Would you be all smoked out? Would you be all, you know, you might be in some special houses, my friends. You would be doing all kinds of stuff, because many of us ran the streets and we know the streets. Where would you be without Jesus? I don't want to know the answer to that question, my friends. I don't want to know where we would be without Jesus. I just want to focus on the fact that I'm with him now and I praise him now. Because there came a point in all of our lives when we realized the only one we could truly chase after was Jesus Christ. He says, I'm chasing after you, and I want to be chasing him back. Hallelujah. Today, my friends, we have this command to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about how to live that great commission. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, we just thank you, Lord, that you chose us. We thank you, Lord, that you looked upon our lives and you knew we needed you, Holy Spirit. And you came to us and you granted us, Holy Spirit, freedom in you. You granted us every day of our lives to have a relationship with you, Holy Spirit. And we choose to follow you. We choose to follow you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we give ourselves to you wholly, completely. And we thank you and we honor you. In the mighty and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's all rise as we sing with the praise choir. I have a testimony, praise God. Up and give yourself to Christ and to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus, we invite you to come up for prayer at this time.
Thank you.
over a little bit today. We're bringing in one new member, and we're installing two new officers. So I want to invite Arlene Diamarn to come up. And then we're going to have Diane Owens and Joseph Stewart. You all will come up, and the elders, if you all will come up with them. For those of you all who are guests today, this is a special time in our service where we bring in new members, then we install new elders and deacons. Okay, so we're going to do the new member first. How are you? Good. Okay, it's good enough. Okay. So, any family members or friends that would like to come and stand beside Arlene, you know her, you love her, just want to stand by her. Some of the elders, come on over, stand, pick up Mary, you know your girl coming. So, Arlene's family that you all might be the most familiar with is Demetrius Darman and Deja. Her sister, thank you, please forgive me, Angela, was a faithful part of Glenville. So, Pastor Antonio's going to start us off.
Well, Arlene has been received by the Session of New Life at Calvary into the communicant membership of the church. She has studied God's word and have learned the belief and practice of his people. She is here to declare her faith and to be joined at New Life at Calvary as a full covenant partner in service of Jesus Christ.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Everyone who acknowledges me before men and women, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Arlene, Jesus Christ has chosen you, and in baptism has joined you to himself. He has called you together with us into this church, which is his body. Now he has brought you to this time and place so you may confess his name before your fellow brothers and sisters and go out and serve him as his faithful disciple.
All right. Well, show your purpose by answering these questions, Arlene. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
All right. Do you trust in him?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Do you intend to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love?
Yes, I do.
Arlene, will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be?
Yes.
All right. Let us pray. God, our Father, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering Arlene into this part of your body of Christ. We thank you for choosing to add to our number a sister in faith. Together, may we live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the mind of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory forever. And the church said,
Amen.
Arlene, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. He has commissioned you. Live in his love and serve him. Be filled with gratitude and let the message of Christ dwell among you in all its richness. Whatever you're doing, wherever you speak, wherever you act, everything you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen. Arlene, welcome to this ministry of Jesus Christ at New Life at Calvary. We give you the right hand of fellowship and say welcome. Elders, if you all will extend the right hand of fellowship to Arlene. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. All right, so now we get to pleasure of bringing in our new, installing our new elders and deacons, praise God. Now, last week, if you were here, you got to see some of our elders and deacons be installed. And this week, we bring before you Joseph Stewart and Diane Owens Hall, praise God.
Well, friends, there are different gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through men and women in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves his purpose through all of them. Each one is given a gift by the Spirit to use it for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ and individually members of him.
Though we have different gifts, together we are the ministry of reconciliation led by the risen Christ. We work and pray to make God's church useful in the world, and we call men and women to faith so that in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Within our common ministry, some members are chosen for a particular work as ministries of the word, ruling elders, or deacons. In ordination, we recognize these special ministries, remembering that our Lord said, "Whoever among you wants to be great must become the servant of all, and if they want to be first among you, they must be slave of all."
To our moderators speaking for the church, here at New Life at Calvary, I bring for the office of deacon Diane Owens Hall and Joseph Stewart to be ordained as deacon at New Life at Calvary on behalf of the Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians.
All right, you two have some questions to answer. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you boldly declare Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and acknowledge him Lord and head and Lord of all and head of the church?
Yes.
Yes. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the Word of God and inspired by the Holy Spirit, the unique witness to Jesus Christ and the authority for Christian faith and life?
Yes.
Yes.
Will you receive, adopt, and be bound by the essential tenets of ECO as a reliable exposition of what Scripture teaches us to do and to believe? And will you be guided by them in your life and ministry?
Yes.
Yes.
Relying on the Holy Spirit, do you humbly submit to God's call on your life, committing yourself to God's mission and fulfilling your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and guided by our confession?
Yes.
Yes.
Will you be governed by ECO's polity and discipline? And will you be accountable to your fellow elders, deacons, and pastors as you lead? Do you promise to be faithful in maintaining the truth of the gospel and the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
Yes.
Yes.
Last question. Well, almost. Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
Yes.
Yes.
Praise God. For our deacons, this is the one deacon question. Will you be a faithful deacon, serving the people, urging concern, and directing the people's help to those in need?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Now for the book report for the congregation. You have a litany of questions. No, you only have two.
Yes.
Do we, the covenant partners of this congregation, accept Diane Owens Hall and Joseph Stewart as deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God and the Constitution of ECO?
We do.
Yes.
Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who is alone the head of this church?
We do.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in every age you have chosen servants to lead your loyal people. We thank you for these deacons whom you have called to serve you. Give them special gifts to their work on your behalf. Fill them with the Holy Spirit so that they may have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Help them to be faithful and dedicated deacons. Lord, we pray your anointing and blessing upon these servants as they serve in this position of special leadership in the church. Fill them with your grace and love. We thank you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Joseph and Diane, you are now deacons in the church and for this congregation. Whatever you do in word or deed,
do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Let us receive the right hand of fellowship as we welcome our new, that's the left hand. You all will get your official certificates in the next coming week. We are officially somewhat back. We're in the building, praise God. Where y'all saw the mobile unit is gone. We're back in the building, but our office is still a work in progress. Our office is temporarily housed in the chapel, but our copy machines are back in their spots, praise God. And so as we continue to get back our office, we will be printing out everyone's certificates. I also want you all to know that since we're back in the office, the phone works again, praise God. So if you have a need or you have a concern, you can call the church phone, hallelujah. Sometimes some of our staff have been receiving calls at their personal home, you all. Call the church. Call me. Call Pastor Antonia. And then when all else is not available,